take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 11. I want to talk to you tonight about overcoming fear. Matthew 11. In 1965, Billy Graham wrote the following. He said, "Historians will probably call our era the age of anxiety." The age of anxiety. And who would know that 55 years later, those words would still ring true. One of the things that produces anxiety is fear. Now, anxiety is a natural result. It's a natural result when our beliefs and hopes are centered in anything else other than God and His will for us. And you think about that. When your beliefs and your hopes are centered in anything other than God and His will for our particular lives. Anxiety is a painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind, usually over an impending or an anticipated ill. So something that is impending, it's coming at you, pretty much know that it's going to happen. But something that is anticipated may or may not happen. And that's the trick about anxiety many times, is that we fret and stew and do all kinds of damage to our minds and to our faith and to our bodies. And it's over something that never even manifests itself. Something that could happen. Anxiety is an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological signs such as sweating, tension, and increased pulse. It's doubt concerning the reality and nature of the threat, and by self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. It's doubt about the reality and nature of the threat. We just don't know. And then you have self-doubt. Am I going to be able to handle this? Am I going to be able to get through this? So you got it coming at all angles. In Matthew chapter 11, in verse 25, it says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." Unto babes. "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and" what?
Earth.
So God, He's Lord of heaven and He's Lord of what?
Earth.
The earth. Anxiety distracts us from our relationship with God and the truth that He is Lord of heaven and He is Lord of earth and all the circumstances and situations that befuddle us on the earth. Anxiety is a crippling fear, taking over our minds and plunging our thoughts into darkness. And darkness is not a good place to be. And God doesn't want any of His children to walk through life full of fear, full of worry, or full of anxiety. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." We heard about the peace of God in manifestation tonight. The word careful comes from the Greek word menao, and it means to be troubled with cares, to worry, to be anxious, to be full of anxiety. The New International translates verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the instructions don't stop there. The chapter goes on to tell the believer exactly what we should be focusing on. And it's not fear. It's not terrorism. It's not illness. It's not death. It's not the coronavirus or the like. Paul goes on to encourage us in verse 8 and 9 what we should focus on. The New Living of verse 8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Do you see one negative thing in that list? See, and there's a reason for that. Because what you dwell on will eventually go into your heart. And once it goes into your heart, it will root. And once it roots, it'll grow and you will manifest it. You will manifest it through your words, through your thoughts, and through your actions. That's why we are encouraged to think on good things. So we manifest good things through our words, our thoughts, and our actions. Verse 9 in the New Living says, keep putting into practice all you've learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing. And the God of peace will be with you. You see, as you practice the word of God that you know, the God of peace will be with you. You can know the word from Genesis to Revelation, but if you don't practice the word, God can't help you because God has also given you free will. The first step to an anxiety-free mind is, of course, to give your life and dedicate it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you've taken that step, it's important that you fix your thoughts on Jesus and the promise that he is one day and right now preparing a place for you. Jesus went away to prepare a place for you. John 4:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be what? It says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, he gives peace. He says, he doesn't give what the world gives. And on the contrary, he gives peace. So whatever the world gives, Jesus Christ was not in favor of it. And the world is run by the media of the world. And the media of the world is run by the God of the world, who is Satan. And he informs his ministers that work in the media to preach his gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is preached in a Christian church by Christian men and women who stand on the word of God. The gospel of Satan is preached in the media. Likewise, as in the Christian church, topics revolve around love, forgiveness, compassion, kindness, hope, the return, the resurrection, and so forth. The topic and sermons that the devil has to offer is fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, lies, homosexuality, and so forth. So when his ministers present these topics, they're topics given to them by the adversary. And as those people walk with their Lord and their God, they present what their Lord and their God once taught. And as men and women walk with the true God and our Lord Jesus Christ, they present what the true God and the true Lord Jesus Christ would have taught to the church in this day and in this time. Verse 28 of John 14 says, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you." You know, where do we hear that? We heard that in John 4, right? So he's saying 11 chapters later, "You've heard how I said unto you, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come again. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I say I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I." Billy Graham also said that the Bible is not an option. It's a necessity. And it's a necessity, and this is especially true in times of despair that can lead to fear and anxiety. Look at Psalm 31, please. In Psalm 31, beginning in verse 13, it says, "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life." It says they heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, and they took counsel against him. They devised to take away his life. The world is the same way. The media is the same way. It's slanderous. They're taking counsel against the believers. They're taking counsel against God through the muse of science. And they're taking counsel to take your life away. Because if you listen to that junk and you lean towards that junk, you will lose your life. You may not lose your eternal life, but you will lose your life here and the good that you could have done for God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be pulled off of your trail. You will be pulled away from your calling and your ministry, and you will be steered down the road of darkness. And the devil will once again steal, kill, and destroy. And this little time that you have here to live for God, he will take even that little time and use it against you so that he can damage you in all eternity. Yes, you'll go to heaven, but what you could have earned and what you could have done, you will lose. Because that's the ministry of the devil. But the answer to this was in verse 14. "I trusted in thee, O Lord. And I said, thou art my God." Thou art my God. So it's available to have something else as your God. And you got to make a decision. And he said, "I trust in you. You are my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy what? Thy mercy's sakes." We know in Timothy it says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear defeats the promises of God. Okay? Fear is never God's will for the believer. Never. Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, talk about an angel appearing to Zechariah when he was in making sacrifice. And it says that fear fell upon Zacharias. And the angel immediately said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard." Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 30, talk about the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary. And Mary was afraid, and in verse 30, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, fear not." In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, it says that the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, so forth and so on, and Joseph was going to put her away. But an angel appeared unto him in a dream, and he said, "Fear not to take unto thyself Mary, thy wife." In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. And the angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shone round about, and they were sore," what?
Afraid.
"And the angel said unto them," what?
"Fear not.
Fear not. Fear not, because I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." In Matthew 28, verse 1, and forward, it talks about the end of the Sabbath being during the first day of the week. Then Mary ran, and an angel was there. And the angel said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified," which was crucified. "And he is not here, but he's what? He's risen. Come and see the place where he lay." So there are, every time you can go into the Bible, you can see that God's will for his people is not to fear. See, because fear defeats the promises of God. Now, Mark 11, Matthew, Mark, chapter 11. Fear and anxiety attacks you more than just in your mind. Okay? In Mark 11, in verse 23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now, we're talking about a manifestation here. It's more than a simple chair rise. It doesn't happen that way. We're talking about the manifestation of believing on God's side. The word faith is used in the preceding verse. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Have the faith of God," is the way the text reads. Okay? And on the devil's side, we're talking about fear. Fear is faith in what the devil says. Fear is faith in what you believe negatively. Faith of God is good. Fear, which is faith in reverse, it's the faith of the devil, is bad. You can get yourself to a place in life where you don't doubt in your heart, but you have those things which you believe, they will come to pass whatsoever you what?
Say.
So if you walk around and you start saying, "I'm sick, I'm going to get sick, I'm going to catch something that's going to get me sick, and I'm just not going to get sick, but this is going to lead to my demise, it's going to lead to my death," and you continue to profess that and profess it and profess it and profess it and confess it, that sooner or later, a seed will grow in your heart. And the law says, whatsoever you say, And the law also says, whosoever. That's what it says here. Whosoever shall say. It doesn't say Christian. Could it be a Christian? Absolutely. Does it say non-Christian? But it could be a non-Christian. Whosoever. Whosoever. Now, briefly, let me try and tie this together for you. Fear is faith in the devil. It's faith in what the devil says. And when you continue to walk in that, you manifest that. All right. Job 3:25. What's it say? You all know by heart. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. And the thing which I was afraid of has come unto me. See it? Okay. It's not just a fear. It's a greatly feared. All right? Now, one example. How do you tie fear and sickness together? Okay, well, if you'll read any medical book, you will see that many of the sicknesses and diseases that people deal with on a daily basis start up here. They start up here. And they can go through and they can teach you all these things, how they start up here. If you look in a medical journal, you will see a section devoted entirely to fear and anxiety and stress disorder. Okay? And one of the things, just this is just one, because it can manifest itself in all different kinds of sicknesses and disease, and it particularly in compromising your immune system. Okay? The one I'm going to just look at tonight briefly with you is how do you tie fear and anxiety into high blood pressure? Okay? High blood pressure is a fear and anxiety disorder. Now, there are exceptions to that, okay? And there's exceptions to everything I'm talking about. But the most common reasons, over 80%, according to research, find that if you are manifesting high blood pressure in your life, okay, they have traced it back down to have its roots in fear and anxiety. Okay? Some people have a sickness. Some people have a side effect from taking a medicine that causes their blood pressure to go high. These are exceptions. But I'm not talking about the exceptions. I'm talking about the general rule of what causes it. Now, high blood pressure is a fear and anxiety disorder, I told you. Proverbs 18:14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" We were made with a spirit that is able to sustain our infirmity. In other words, we're made with common sense. You wouldn't think that, but we are. We're made with an immune system. See, this isn't just Holy Spirit. This is talking about the spirit of man. The way a man is born, his body is fearfully and wonderfully made. The antibodies in his body, the corpuscles in his body, the diameter of his veins, the function of his heart and his kidneys and his liver. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. If a man gets a cold or a man gets or a woman gets this or gets that, we are designed to fight that off by our immune system. Okay? God designed us to fight that off and to be able to overcome. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? A wounded spirit, who can bear? When a person is compromised, and compromised in their immune system, that's a wounded spirit. Wounded spirit is also compromised in your heart, where you have a broken heart. But that leads to sickness too. A wounded spirit, who can bear? When you're not functioning properly, when you just get near the least little whatever and you catch it, that's a wounded spirit. The Bible says, who can bear? See, God designed the body to be healthy, and He designed our body to take care of anything that comes along. Okay? High blood pressure, for the most part, is caused by projecting the potential failure of something in the future that can or cannot go wrong. It's worrying all the time. Worrying about family. Worrying about finances. Worrying about your health. Worrying about fear of failure. You just go ahead and add to the list. Okay? And you just are mining. Your mind is steeped on this. You're just enwrapped in this. And this is what you're thinking about all the time. All the time you're thinking. Okay? And this is how it works with this whole corona crap. You cannot turn the TV on, turn the radio on, turn anything on without hearing corona, corona, corona. It's in your face. It's up close and it's personal. And they do not let off. It is relentless. It is relentless. The Bible says, take no thought for your life in Matthew 6. The word thought, again, is the word to be anxious in the Greek. When you worry or have stress, okay, people are wearing masks in cars, and they're the only one in the car. They're the only one in the car. People are wearing masks in their backyard of 10 acres, and they're the only one in the backyard. Why is that? Because of fear. They're worried. When you worry or have stress, it produces an imbalance in your sympathetic nervous system. And it produces something called cell membrane rigidity. So how does that affect your blood pressure? Your cardiovascular system, consisting of your heart, your veins, and so forth. Your heart pumps blood through your veins. Now, your veins are a certain diameter, okay? And God set it up that way. And everything is held in place by proper serotonin levels, all right? Everything works when it's left the way God designed it to work. When you worry, your hypothalamus gland, which is the brain of the sympathetic system, which controls the central nervous system. Your hypothalamus senses your lack of peace. That's what it does. This is called the limbic system. It's the mind-body connection. What the mind is receiving, dwelling on, thinking about, connects to the body this way. Okay? Now, this is introduced different ways. It can be introduced by a spirit. It can be introduced by the media. Okay? The fear, the anxiety then that you start to have over this fear. They just start doing this. And it projects into your mind by thoughts, feelings, impressions, different vehicles that the devil uses to get it in there. And then you become one with it. You become one with it. And as your hypothalamus gland is recognizing the lack of peace, It sets in motion through the sympathetic nervous system a signal that produces something called cell membrane rigidity. Okay? And it talks to your body. And that's how you get a tension headache. But this tension also occurs at the cardiovascular level. And the hypertension, the tension of the cell membrane, begins to thicken. And as a result, the cell membrane begins to constrict. And it goes like this. And in the meantime, your heart is pumping. But if you know anything about a hose, if you turn the hose on and the water's just running out, and then you take your fat little thumb and put it over the hose, what happens? The pressure goes up and it squirts real what? And that's what happens. Your cells constrict. Your heart has to pump harder, has to work more, because now it's pumping a gallon, a minute, or whatever it pumps, through a hole that is half the size of what the hole used to be before. And why was that? Because it recognized that you are not at peace in your body, in your mind. And that's how the devil takes the laws of God, the laws of nature. He goes and he talks to his ministers in the media, and he says, you be relentless, and you put this in their face over and over and over and over again, till everyone is afraid to come out of their house, till everyone is afraid to breathe, till everyone is afraid to do except what I say to do. And then they lose their peace, they get full of anxiety, and then it affects them not only physically, but it affects their whole life. See? And people who work in grocery stores, okay, work there every day, they work with masks on, they're still there, they're not sick. My daughter's been there every day, every day. Not just one or two, every day. Other people have been there every day, and then they want to turn around and they want to say, we can't reopen certain sections because people are going to get sick. Well, that makes no sense. And now the models that were falsely presented to our president and our government, we come to find that the man who made the models is an idiot, and he lied. And like I said before, this will go down as one of the biggest hoaxes in the United States history. I'm not saying that there was not a problem. I am simply saying this was taken way above and beyond, and it's an exercise of the adversary's power and authority over the world, and it's preliminary to what he's going to be able to do in the future. Because the Bible says that can't happen until that which withholdeth is removed. And that which withholdeth is us and the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And then that which withholdeth, as it said in Thessalonians, once it's removed, then there's going to be all hell to pay. But God will not be without witness. He will have 144,000 faithful Jews. He will have thousands and thousands of faithful Gentiles and other Jewish believers. He will have two witnesses that will walk upon the face of the earth and speak his word. And if anybody says anything to them, fire will come out of their mouth and burn them dead right in front of them. And that's how everyone will die who gives these witnesses a hard time. They will get roasted like Pete's dragon right down to the bottom. He will have an eagle that will fly through the air with the everlasting gospel in its mouth speaking. Why do you find that so funny? Because Balaam's ass spoke, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Sure it is. God will never be without witness. Mm-hmm. But this is how the adversary uses fear. Because he understands these laws better than I do. He understands the physical body better than I do. But this is how he uses fear to harm us. Okay. Well, once your cell membranes constrict, the blood begins to back up, the pressure goes up. So what do? We go to a doctor. Doctor says, that's not good. You could die. More fear. Right? Proverbs 15:30 says, the light of the eye rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. A good report makes your bones fat. And in your bones is something called marrow, and your marrow is something where the blood is all made and junk like that, right? So you want to have nice, fat, healthy bones. And that comes from a good report. But if you get a bad report, this sets into motion a set of dominoes spiritually and physically in your life and body. And then you got to deal with this crap, right? A lot of times you go to a doctor and all he winds up doing is cursing you. Seriously, he'll curse you. Because he's so smart, so he thinks, he will say that such and such and such and such and this is going to happen. That's what they do. So the doctor says, you don't worry about it. I'll prescribe you a pill. And once you take this pill, it's going to make you all better. Now this particular pill was a medicine, and medicine is a beta blocker. And a beta blocker is... it's a liar. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's like shifty shift. It's a liar. And the beta blocker lies to your sympathetic nervous system. And it tells your sympathetic nervous system that everything's okay. And the sympathetic nervous system, in turn, releases the cell rigidity because it's being lied to. Right? And it reverses the process, and the blood pressure goes back to normal, and everything's okay. And there's no more danger as long as you take the pill. As long as you're on the medicine, you'll be good, right? Doctor told her, I don't know how many years ago, you need high blood pressure medicine. And so I said, you're going to exercise and change your diet. You ain't getting no high blood pressure. And she did. Mm-hmm. And she don't have no problem with high blood pressure anymore. See, because what they don't tell you, and if you read the fine print, if you take this and it fixes that, it messes up 37 other things.
That's right.
And you come back 2 years later, and you're dying, and the doctor said, well, it won't be of high blood pressure. I saved you of high blood pressure. I can't help it. Your liver's gone. Your kidneys are gone, right? That's what happens. See? The drug lies to the sympathetic nervous system. So. And it lies so it doesn't recognize the problem. And then it just goes back to normal and everything works out okay. And this is why I harp and harp and harp about listening to the news. Not too long ago, Carmen did a teaching about vibrations. Same thing. It affects you on all different levels. And then the way we are designed, it recognizes this. You know, here. You ever watch a movie, ladies? And you're sitting there watching a movie with a woman, right? And then all of a sudden you look over, the woman's got a box of tissues. Well, why is that?
These guys looking at me.
You know why that is? Nobody twisted her arm to give her pain. It's because she saw something and it's manifesting itself in her body. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like when my wife saw me. She plucked me out of the pond. So I got to have that duck. But you see, it's all tied together. Right? Okay, let's close. I do have a scripture I want to read to you to close. Here it is. Page number 37. No, it's page 4. Go to Romans. Nah, don't go to. Go finish in the Psalm 34. I'll read you Romans. Romans 2:11 very simply says, therefore, there is no respect of persons with God. Okay? Know what that means, right? It means you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, we all can do it. No respect. Problem's not on God's end. And Psalm 34 says, in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my what?
Fears.
And now we know that there's no respect of person. So if we seek God, and we stay faithful, and we go after him, and we don't let go, God will deliver you. I have fought vices, problems, sin in my life, sometimes for years, without succumbing to the temptation. And I know the spirit realm, and I know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, but, and I would continually remind myself of it, and there would be times where I would have relief for a month or two, but then it would come back, and then it would come back. And every single time I've ever gone through this in my life, and I can speak now from some experience and wisdom, I've always realized and always said to myself, one day I'm going to wake up and it's going to be gone. And I'm not going to realize it's gone until 6 months later. Mm-hmm. And every time that happens to me, that's the way it happens with me. It'll be a fight. And it'll be a fight. And, you know, I got to juggle family. I got to juggle church. I got to juggle people in church, which can be testing at times. And I got to keep my mind straight. I got to stay meek to God. It's just like you guys do, all these things. And then I don't need to deal with this, right? Just like you don't need to be dealing with whatever, right? But it happens. But I can promise you this. I have never once gone through that. And I have gone through it through an extended period of time where God has not delivered me. So, you know, it says in the book of Hebrews, I believe, that after you had done the will of God, you have need of patience. See it happen, right? So, listen. Do yourself a favor. Be healthy. Be smart. But this whole corona crap, stop. Don't even go there. Go outside, go on a trail, enjoy yourself, be smart. Don't listen to this junk, because it's not going to do anything good for you except hurt you. All right?